Blog Talk Radio.
To make a connection with you for about a half an hour, something that usually takes a few seconds. My apologies. Anyway, it's a pleasure to have you here today. Masonic Effects, the place where we have an opportunity to connect. Thank you very much for the feedback and the connections from you around the world. India, how are you? And our listeners in Finland, it's always a pleasure. Russia, I'm chuffed to have you here. It's great. And Brazil, yeah, I'm looking forward to your reaction to the program this week, and of course our stalwart supporters in France and Britain, Canada, and out of all of the dust hasn't settled yet in the United States, but we have some listeners, so it lets us know that there's perhaps the temperature, the things that have been stirred up there, the tensions that are going on, aren't aren't necessarily consuming people 24/7. It's been an interesting week in the world. We actually see our connections. If you've had a reaction to it. To what's been going on around, it's an understanding. A couple of things. One is that this psychological effect. As we get older, our tendency truly is that our sense of pride and our sense of resolve changes. As a species, this isn't speaking about you, of course. You're all seeing, all knowing, all being. But for the run of the mill human being, psychologically, we begin to become more apprehensive, and we can become more apprehensive. It has to do with the restriction on our mobility. I see, you and I see people not acting their age. That's not a state of mind. It's a state of body. You know, if you're fit at 80, as my doctor tells me, if I'm fit at my age, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm as fit as I was when I was 25. So I'll give him that. we change. And as our mobility begins to change, we don't no longer take steps two at a time, as we did when we were boys and girls. We begin to it begins to change our thinking. Apprehension, caution, I think, is if we're aware of this, then we can become mindful of the cautiousness. When I walk down a flight of stairs, I'm cautious that I, you know, I don't necessarily want to trip. The consequences of injury and harm are greater. It takes longer to, it's just a nuisance. It takes longer to get over an injury now than it did when we had all those redundant systems built in. When we're born, we have multiple redundancies. As we get older, they begin to fade, and so we're left with fewer and fewer and fewer systems that help us to recover from injury. So, a cautionary note. The influence that we bring as Freemasons, the claim that we have to a particular devotion, it's nothing more than that, I think. And I don't mean to belittle it at all. It's a huge step. Our devotions are significant to us. And we need, I think, to be able to, like any topic matter, to be able to discuss it. Having a great idea, having the cure, having the solution, having the answer, and keeping it to oneself it makes the ideas useless. You know, as we used to see the people that would be working, doing a lot of manual labor, in their own minds, when they're in the pub late at night, they're engineers, they're architects, they're designers, they're politicians. They're building bridges in their minds, and happy to do that. And they're solving the problems of the world in their minds. Different to talk about the cautions and problems and challenges that we face in a thoughtful and deliberate way than in a glib way. As Masonic Effects is offered, it's not a moment, those moments when you feel contemplative, and not everybody does. Some people are caught up in that whirlwind of thought. The thoughts are either so troubled or challenged that they don't have that moment to sit back and pause. Oh, it will come. Yeah. Inevitably, it does come. And it's an advantage when it does. Being reactive to everything going on, quite frankly, we know that we miss quite a lot. We miss that thoughtfulness that we need to be able to teach to a child, the expression of care to a friend or our wives. Well, brings me to a bit of an issue here today. The commentary today is called The Responsibility of Continuity. And I need you to ask you to assist me with that, to give me some feedback on it. It's about Masonry and Masonic year being out of time. But what I'm needing to talk to you about today is an interesting phenomena. It's as if the curtain that has been pulled over the humanity, shrouding us from the true light, from the true insight, has developed a tear. There's a tear in that curtain. And I'm speaking in very practical terms about the surge, the reassertion of the status of women. When we examine our own beliefs, when we examine our own situation, and when we examine our own history, not one of us wants to claim that we were of that, we are colonialists. Or that the colonialism caused great suffering. Today, we look at those types of things with different reference points. Occupy tells us that the 99% do not enjoy the benefits of the 1%, and the 1% seem to be far disproportionately influential. So we're rethinking this whole, and it's very serious, we're rethinking the application of democracy, the applications of capitalism, the applications of social thought, the cohesiveness, community working together. We're rethinking that, not from the position of the illiterate or the fearmongers out there, because they'll immediately just start to chirp away, and just, you know, the volume of that chirping is so loud you can't really have a thoughtful moment in it. No, I'm talking about when we sit back and realize the things about our order that galvanize humanity. We're all in this together. We're all in it together. And we look and we know, we look and we find. We look for the best in a man, and it is always there. If we look for the evil, if we look for the trouble, if we look for the discontent, we'll find that. You could find blemish in the most beautiful piece of music and the most beautiful piece of art. If that's what your mind is built around. Oh, we send our dogs out. We train them well. I'll go and find out some mischief about this person. And if you look for it, it's always there. Even the most pious, it's always there. If we look for the worst in people, if we particularly, I'm not talking about something as vulgar as mocking somebody's faith. A Freemason would never, ever consider, you know, that's abhorrent. The respect, we respect a person and respect their connections with their creator because we have that belief ourselves. Anybody who says otherwise has either not being Masonic at all, certainly not, or have failed to embrace the values and ethic of Freemasonry. I'm sorry to say. I suppose it happens. I've never met one. But the difference being that we have to look for the best. You never know, and I never know when that next fellow coming around the corner or the next person is part of this order. The order, it's ordered thinking. It's not a club. It's the order of thinking. If the person coming around that corner is insightful, well be. I like to think that they're a Freemason. But they may have come to those conclusions through their own study, through their own imagination and intelligence. The tear in the cloth is that the subjugation of women has not served us well and has violated our commitment to respecting our fellow creatures and looking for the best. This notion of dominance that many of us were taught this. It was so wrong. It's wrong-minded. We were taught that women were chattel. Women were objects. We commodified them. And in some ways, the cultures that have developed still do that. And it's a simple measure, and it's an uncomfortable measure. The uncomfortable reality of it is, when we look around, women are not as proportionally represented in the arts and in the sciences and in governance and politics as they are in the marketplace, in the world, in the gang. 51% of the world is women. The proportion of males being born is dropping. We know we have some science to tell us why that's happening. So the imbalance in some places, female babies were kept and killed not that long ago. that they were useless, that they were a burden, seen as a burden on families. Some major, major cultures, some of the cultures that still wrestle with deep caste system, still have that the pallor of that kind of suppression lingering over them. They're still wrestling with it. The time you look around, stick our heads up from our rabbit holes here, ladies and gentlemen, and we're seeing that the tide has turned. Some of you will remember, perhaps, a director that was no longer with us. His name was Stanley Kubrick. And this was an interesting fellow. He's an American film director and screenwriter and producer, and he's frequently cited as one of the greatest and most influential directors in cinematic history. Now, he was born in Manhattan, and he only passed away in 1999, as a matter of fact. And he's a thoughtful person. Just a few little statements from him that give us that sense of him, perhaps. If it can be written or thought, it can be filmed. The great nations have always acted like gangsters and the small nations like prostitutes. You know, not a shy mind. And he passed away when he's completing his 13th and final film, Eyes Wide Shut. Anyway, the reason that I bring it up is about his work on that I found startling at the time. Perhaps some of you will recall Clockwork Orange. So, yes, back in the day, I wasn't much out of diapers, and I was looking at and went repeatedly to look at this movie, 1971, dystopian crime film. And it was from a novel by Anthony Burgess. The storyline is troubling. It's looking into the future, and a sadistic gang leader is imprisoned and volunteers for a conduct aversion experiment, but it doesn't go quite as planned. What we were exposed to in that movie, very graphically, were rape gangs. Now, we know that these types of gangs exist in certain parts of the East. We know that, and some of the systems, some of the caste system, countries struggling with caste system are struggling with this and find it abhorrent. We have examples. You can find it in the news in any given day. Kubrick put it right in front of us, put the audience, pushed it into our faces, and suggested to us this is what the future is going to be like, this ultra violence. And what I recall of it is the mocking that went on. The victims not only were exposed to violence, but they were mocked. What was being mocked was our mentality. Today we have to, I think, whether we like it or not, and we probably don't like it, wonder. If this is the epoch, if this is what we've been building for, building toward through the 20th and early 21st century, this moment of equality coming not because of any legislation. We know that we could no longer legislate equality than we can legislate an end to stupidity. We know that it will come in kicking and screaming, and it will be uncomfortable. It will not be pleasant. It will not be organized. It will not fit according to our, it not fit in our comfort zone. It's a phenomena. And it's happening around us. It's happening around us as clearly as the consequence of global warming will come. No matter what we say, no matter how wishful or hopeful we are, the decline is going on. The consequence will be visited upon us. The consequence of communication, global communication, the effort, the recognition that our economists, right, for those of you who don't subscribe to the social sciences, you can put cotton in your ears right now, because we're going to talk about the value and benefit of economics and the economists. The economists have simply taught us the value of how much better the quality of life is when there's balance. We've known that for a long time. And ask yourself, in those places that come to mind about where the grape gangs are being being chased, exist, and they're being chased, where women are the devalued, the women that are not considered equal to men. Ask yourself about the quality of life in those countries and answer that for yourself. I won't dare touch that because I don't want to trigger so much stupidity at me. The work is there. The math is there. The economists help us with the math. And they help us to understand the benefit. These are values that deepen our connection with our soul. In our families, we are obliged as Masons to be working in to establish happiness and harmony. Oh, we may not see it. There are some silly buggers out there that want to take a round out of the old girl, but want to keep her in her place. You've seen it before. Ha ha. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There are a few old idiots running around like that. Then they pass on those lessons to the young idiots. Oh, and to of both genders. You know. Where does a woman learn to be subjugated? Where does she learn to work more when he says something impolite, to tolerate it? Where does she taught that? When she's feeling tired and in pain, she's not to mention that. She's to carry on that. She's to carry the larger burden, the larger proportion of the suffering. Where is she taught those types of things? And now we look at the reaction and the resentment. And is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? This is a harsh, this is not something, when I don't want to, I feel horrible when a young woman is screaming this type of epithet, is upset about the resentment and doesn't see me, but sees all of me as part of that homogenous group that represents pain and subjugation to her. It's painful, truthfully, when I see a brother going through, reacting, hanging his head, or not knowing what to do, or feeling just caught in the crosshairs. He did not. He lived a good life. He's strived to respect, and yet he is a man, yet he is who he is. And if anyone was to say all men have the potential for violence toward women, that's the kind of universal comment that he's neither valid or invalid. Yeah, I suppose the bigger, the more muscular is always able to dominate. I would say this, that there's been an accumulation of thoughtlessness, and thoughtlessness generates more of the pack mentality than we can care to admit. It's just not right. So I began to wonder about that tear in the cloth, the clear tear in the cloth that hangs over us. It's like a shroud that hangs over us, and just beyond that is insight, inside that. But we're on the outside, and we've put this cloth is not there naturally. No, I'm not talking about something as trite as a Garden of Eden. Maybe it's a nice metaphor, though. This is more like something that we've unintentionally created. And now, is it earth-shattering that the dynamic, the pendulum, the orbit has come around? And now somebody is going to have to look at this, and can look at this as not manipulation, but as reaction, as an opportunity to react and take and be the bigger person. What's the right thing to do? What's the ethical thing to do in this situation? Well, I don't know the answer to all of that. I wouldn't begin to explain to another person explain anything that would feel like our thinking is somehow wrong. We have work to do. We have work to do. And there is an opportunity. There's an opportunity right in front of us that makes more of a statement than our order could ever do in person. We're going to come back. It's got a great program going on here today. You don't mind a little Thelonious Monk, do you? Just a little bit. His birthday was around this time. He'd be about 100 years old now. Just cast your mind back. What did he know? What did he know about the keyboards that others didn't? This is from 1966, Norway and Denmark. Thank you. could never blame anybody for being a fan of that kind of music. Phenomenal. Just incredible musician. No longer with us. But interesting that we can sit and listen to his music from a very, very long time ago. We have opportunity around us, brethren. When somebody is criticizing a Mason, it's perhaps understandable that somebody would want to turn their back on that person. Particularly when we're being talked about generically. It's not us, it's yous. All of you. You're all the same. You know, when you see somebody that's in that much pain, or they're saying things like, all men are the same. It's painful. It's painful to hear. And it's easy and it's common to turn your back on that person. And that act reinforces the message. See, you really don't care. The uncommonness of Freemasonry is not always, does not always make the right thing the easy thing. What's the alternative to turning away? It's not to get into an argument or to be necessarily put ourselves out there as a target for vitriol. We have an opportunity to demonstrate what's in our hearts through our actions. You know that as well as I. And speaks, our actions do speak louder than words, even with somebody who is the retrobate, even the dilettante. It's hard, it's more of a challenge to take the principled road, even when somebody is criticizing you while you're doing it. So if you're looking to cheapen the value, the purposefulness of the order, it's a good way of doing it. Act commonly. Act as if what distinguishes us from others is that when it's expected that we're justified, when it's justified that we can take retribution, that we can be vulgar in response to somebody cursing at us. What makes us Masons is when we don't. When it's justifiable in the minds of simple people and you don't. Oh, it's troubling. It's troubling. And it's challenging and it's difficult. And the only reason we ever would extend under an effort, make an effort of understanding towards somebody that is so damaged, so hurt, is that we can, that we believe it's the right thing to do. So, nope, I'm not going to be chuckling in the background about misogynistic jokes. I was never good with that type of shit in the first place. And not going to be able to tolerate, and I will avoid those people by showing them that, by doing what I can to express our true belief. Now, I think there's a lot of ways we can get to this point in a conversation about what to do, but I think there's a demonstration opportunity right in front of us. Oh, it takes us way, way out of our laconic state of thinking. For example, the most dramatic expression of the subjugation of women is the number of women that are being battered and murdered, killed by partners. We know that most of the damage that's done to women and children is not done by strangers. It's done by people they know, family members. I think you can see where we're going with this. Some time ago, we made, as a nation, a modest effort to create shelters. Those shelters is particularly and the holiday seasons are overcrowded, and they're very sad places to be. And the low-minded around the neighborhood will say, well, she deserves that. She's the one that she can't get away from. She has an opportunity to get away, and she's not doing it. Well, if you're that simple-minded, you probably should turn this program off, and I wish you very well, brother. If you're that simple-minded, it's a hell of a lot more complicated with that than you're wrestling other responsibilities. Or you've been exposed and taught. This is what you've been taught. You're a punching bag. Or you're doing it because you're totally overwhelmed by the bully in the room. Eh? And if you've been in that situation, not one of us can say that we see the world through the eyes of a woman. Not one jack of us. It's interesting, though, that we have this opportunity. If Masons wanted to express a behavior without bringing attention to themselves, and far too much hubris right now, I'm not comfortable with the bragging rights that go on. I'm more the, I like it when we can pat each other in the back and say, right, we've done that collection, we've made that contribution. That's it makes me feel good. We do that behind closed doors. And what somebody gets a now, they usually want to have a photo. That's considered a courtesy. And and the small groups, that's a group that does something different. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do it alone anymore. There's a lot of service clubs that work, enthusiastically. Men and women's groups that contribute mightily to charity. In this country, where I am, volunteering is legend. If there's a dilemma going on, you see people that will stop and help you. Complete strangers. You're not too much of a stranger here very long in this country. That says a lot about the place that I'm sitting in right now. What if it took one lodge, one group of people to very quietly begin to financially support women's shelters? As an expression, not just, throw them a buck and then they'll go away. None of that kind of nonsense. No, as a serious recognition that this is wrong, that if we're waiting and saying this is a government's responsibility, then what the hell are we doing as Masons? What the hell, what are we really up to? If it's going to be done and it needs to be done proper, it's going to take some Masons roll up our sleeves and get at it, boys and girls. Nope. Our time has come. Now, whether we do that, can you imagine? Our Grand Lodges are there to preserve and protect us. And so no Grand Lodge would ever stop, interfere with the charitable actions of a lodge. You know that they encourage it, but the imagination, it takes great imagination and courage and a sense of commitment. I've listened not too long ago about some fellows wanting to make some changes in the lodge and improve it, and instead of looking like church basements, make it look more like a comfortable place where men would want to be. And yes, it was a great idea. And yes, you hear the people, they come out with every reason why it shouldn't. Something could happen. It could go wrong. The anxious. And yet, it's so odd that they don't see the confidence. It doesn't matter. You come up with an idea, you're never going to get anywhere if you keep listening to that little voice in your side saying, it could go wrong. Can't do that. That you're creating your own fear. You're being your own worst enemy. You get a bunch of how-to, can-do people together. It's not like, something might happen. It's like something will happen. And this group will sort it out when it happens. Otherwise, you're always nickel and dime, and you're doing the penny-ante stuff. The safe stuff. So you look at the group that you're with, can you say, this is can do? We'll get to it. We'll roll up our sleeves. And if not us, then it'll just sit on the shelf collecting dust. Great idea until somebody else comes along and does it. And then we all think, my goodness, you know, what a good idea. So the expression, it's an enormous challenge. Oh, my goodness. It's a huge challenge to the faint of heart. Because it embraces the ugliness of a lot of cultures. And the ugliness is everywhere. Women are being harmed like this. We know this. But it makes a very strong statement to our sons and to our daughters. This is wrong. This will stop. And we're putting our shoulder behind this. We're not just talking about it. We're not just saying, oh, it's so sad what happened to her. Or we always knew he was dangerous. That's not good enough, not anymore. So ask yourself, no, you're never going to take this kind of step because somebody comes up with the idea. Think about it. Think about it. If you don't have a group, can-do group, then you do what you can yourself. You express. And all I'm saying is, yes, there's a lot of serious things going on, but these are our partners. These are our co-workers. These are our daughters and wives and mothers. And they deserve better. They deserve it. Man, it's a little Billie Holiday.
I say I'll move the mountain. And I'll move the mountain if he wants them out of the way. Crazy calls me, sure I'm crazy, crazy love I'd say. I say I'll go through fire, and I'll go through fire. As he wants it, so it will be. Crazy calls me. Sure I'm crazy, crazy in love. Like the wind that shakes the bough, he moves me with a smile. The difficult I'll do right now, the impossible will take a little while. I say I'll care forever, and I mean forever, if I have to hold up the sky. Crazy he calls me, sure I'm crazy, crazy in love, am I? Like the wind that shakes the bough, he moves me with a smile. The difficult I'll do right now, the impossible will take a little while. I say I'll care forever, and I mean forever, if I have to hold up the sky. Crazy he calls me, sure I'm crazy.
Breathtaking. Just breathtaking. The commentary today. Join me. the responsibility of continuity. Being a Freemason is an obligation. So we celebrate, you know, you look around and, you know, lodges are great places. People are in a good mood. They're sort of sitting down and let's get on with it. A bit impatient. Let's get on with it. And boy, we need it to really hit the mark. We need everybody doing their piece, showing that they've committed. And when that happens, you know, it's magical. And then it creates a legacy and an expectation. And then we find, oh my goodness, something's not right. Something's not working. What have we missed? Our expectations are clear. Well, often what we're missing is this step of communication. We often, too often, it's our failing. It's our undoing that we talk at initiates, not with them. And one of the things that I think we can, some places have mastered this. They know how to listen. They know that it's expected. And they know that by listening, they get to understand more about the candidate, more about the person. And it expresses something more profound and deeper about Masonry than anything else you could possibly do. Shows respect. And that, I think, is remarkable. So along that way, when we're finding that our expectations are not being met, have we wavered? So you're a new initiate in my gallery, and I'm a well-known painter. And you've shown some talent, and you've been invited. But for the first while, it's not going to be like the reputation of the Pythagorean school, where, what was it, for the first 4 or 5 years, you didn't say anything? It wasn't like you went in with that expectation. You were treated with the respect of being a student. And to develop the skill of silence, to master it. Because the old mathematician knew that this is a way where you absorb more information. When you're listening, you're absorbing, you begin to know who's full of stuff and fluff, and who is really has things of merit to say, who talks to hear himself talk, and who only speaks when he has something valuable to contribute. And then there's those that only speak when they're asked. Going into that kind of a studio and that kind of an environment, silence is purposeful. You come into the studio, you need instruction. And so you watch, you look over the shoulder. You're instructed, you're told things, you're challenged. Not with the sense of praise, but with feedback. Encouragement is different than praise. Oh, you're wonderful. Stop thinking. Every time there's a bit of tripe that's being offered in a lodge and somebody says, you know, and praises it, really? It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful. It's dishonest when we're saying that your substandard work is acceptable. But often people haven't been taught the manners of how do you handle that gracefully? Well, you handle it gracefully by being encouraging. It shows that your work, it may be substandard, but it shows that you're coming along, that you're making an effort, and we're able to see those parts, we're able to break it down, and there's parts that you did very well with. And that's an acknowledgement. You are sitting down at the keyboard, but you're not Thelonious Monk. So you may want to be, but saying to this scooter, you're just, you know, you're amazing, you're wonderful. Come on. What we want to know is your hard work is paying off. Associate the result with the effort. Your hard work is paying off. And if you work hard enough, you'll get there. And then getting there separates out the people with true talent and people that are plotting, people that are a true genius, and then there's people that work like hell to get where they are. There's a difference. You can do great things by working very, very hard. And then there's people, it doesn't come easy to them. It's people that have a different level of intelligence and ability. And we recognize that. The responsibility of continuity is on us. It is a background to what makes Freemasonry function today. But it is a vivid background that speaks loudly, not only to a keen membership, but refutes uncertainty and treacherous environments. All that stuff outside the lodge doors. Inside, there is continuity. The 21st century is, if nothing else, a time of the unimaginable became imaginable. Freemasonry scholars carefully manage the growth of ideas within and about Masonry. When in doubt, Masonry moves cautiously and out of time. When our impatience fuels petulance, the Masonic mind, and it does exist, is able to reclaim the center, the balance, to find a calm in the storm by being unnervingly contemplative. You and I live a single life with a certain outcome. A Masonic year is time out of mind. The formula for a Masonic year equals the lifetime of a man. Today, that average is 1 to 79 years. Not bad. We delve into the serious questions, knowing we cannot investigate until a response is clear. So we have questions. It doesn't mean we have answers. It doesn't mean what we come up with is accurate. It's just we need to do that. Small steps. Put the logic together. The agora has an urgency, always in the marketplace. From the ancient Greek time to today, there's an urgency. Justice immediately. Answers immediately. And there's a clamor, because the first answer is often for the weak-minded an influential answer. Similarly, politicians and business rely on opportunism, right frame of reference at the right time. Science is the most compatible process to Masonry. Each experiment takes us one step closer to a finding. If we abandon the scientific method, we make rash and self-defeating mistakes. That echoes the pace, if not the process, of Masonry. Only it is difficult for most of us to equate the broad strokes of Masonry with the achievements of science, so we don't. We don't. See, this is music by a brother, as a matter of fact. I think you'll appreciate it. This is the person that put together a... Edward Kennedy Ellington, and he was born in 1899, and he's born in Washington, D.C., and he's thought of as the originator of big band jazz. So if you're a little boy at the age of 7 and you know what the climate was like for men of color, the racism that was profound in many, many, too many nations of the world, this man prevailed. And did I mention he was a member of the order? Check this out. Beautiful. Thank you. Not to like. So this week, as you go out and function in whatever role you have in the world around you, be the bigger man. Be the man that listens to the young dilettante without challenging him. Don't have to dominate him because you're so worldly and have more experience. Who else teaches? How else do you teach humility and understanding? You teach it by demonstrating it. And today, as I've said, we've said many times before in Masonic Effects, the world needs masonry. The world needs more masonry. Not as clubs with bricked up windows, buildings with bricked up windows, and these odd symbols, but as expressions of ethics and principles that are guided by a sense of happiness, trying to bring happiness. No, we don't impose it's happiness. Happiness is like right of way. An old sailor taught me that. Happiness is like right of way. Right of way is given, it is never taken. Happiness is like that. You want to express happiness, you show happiness. There's an authenticity to it. What's continued? Yeah, we have grand buildings and beautiful architecture that expresses the gravitas of masonry. Here we're not there in where I sit in the world. We're not there quite yet, but we're a young nation. We'll get there. But what has endured from time and from through the hundreds and hundreds of years, the continuity is this expression of fraternal affection and respect. That acknowledgement in itself, the great people around us, do they exhibit those characteristics? Those things are Masonic. The rest are not. They're not. And for the Master Mason who drinks the Kool-Aid, as it said, it becomes easy when your work and your wants, what you have to do and what you want to do become one. Oh, it's remarkable. Anyway, remarkable or not, it's time for us to move on. This is a little shout out to all of the people that were in trenches in the Second World War. You'll all be familiar with this. Very, very, this is a person that's saying to everybody, both sides, there were no sides. She was compelling. And she was a sound, she became a sound that acknowledges a very, very terrible time in the history of humanity. This is Marlene Dietrich, Lily Marlene. See you again soon. Commit those acts of Masonic kindness, as random as they can be. This lady died in 1992, not that long ago.
Laterne und steckt sie noch davor. Dort wollen wir uns wiedersehen. Bei der Laterne wollen wir stehen wie einst Lili Marlene, wie einst Lili Marlene. Unsere beiden Schatten sahen wie einer. Dass wir lieb uns hatten, das sah man gleich darauf. Und alle Leute sollen es sehen, wenn wir bei der Laterne stehen. Wie einst Lili Marlene, wie einst Lili Marlene. Deine Schritte kennt sie, deinen schönen Gang. Alle Abend brennt sie, doch mich vergaß sie lang. Und sollte mir ein Leid geschehen, wer wird bei der Laterne stehen? Mit dir, Lili Marlene. Mit dir, Lili Marlene.
You again.